Praise the Lord. Well, sisters, we did want to have a special time. We're going to have two special fellowship times, if you look in your schedule. And this first one, we want the focus to be, the feeling was, this matter of having a holy, sanctified life for the church life. Amen. You may ask, we were considering, how does this relate to what we're in regarding the church? On one hand, I said for the church life, so that should give some indication. But actually, it does very much relate to what's going on we've been covering so far. You know, God's intention. God's intention, right, is to have the church, his bride. Right? He wants the new man. Actually, eventually we saw that God wants oneness, and oneness is who God is. Well, another attribute of God is that he's holy. Okay. And so his desire is that we would be holy, and I'll get to this in a second to make it a little bit more practical, but I just want to give you this sense. You know, one of the pictures we have that we covered was God's calling his people and bringing them to the land, right? Yeah. Right? He called Abraham and he made them a nation. He called them out of Egypt to be a nation for himself, one nation. And when he called them out of Egypt, he charged them. And actually, if you were into the training in Leviticus, some of you were, but I know some of you, we'll get into the morning revival, some of you that have that later. But there was this realization that God charged his people that when they came to the land to be holy. Yeah. Let me read it to you, okay? Because it's impressive if you hear how many times he says this. He told Moses, "Speak to all the assembly of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy. For I, Jehovah God, am holy." Amen. You shall be holy, for I, Jehovah God, am holy. Okay, and then again, verse 19:2, and then in verse 27, he says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am Jehovah your God." Okay, and then to drive it home, 26, he says, same chapter, chapter 20, he says, "And you shall be holy to me, because I, Jehovah, am holy. And I have set you apart from the people to be mine." Amen. So you see God's heart? His heart for his people, when they came back out of the children of Israel, they would be holy. We're the same people. This charge to the children of Israel can be applied to us because we're the new called race. He had to call again, right? He had to get the church. This charge in the Old Testament is actually a charge to us. And we can see this in Ephesians because this same word to be holy is there, it actually corresponds to the unveiling of the new man. He said, you should not walk like the Gentiles in Ephesians, right? And then, I'm just giving you some verses here. In Ephesians 1:4, you can maybe turn there if you have your Bible, Ephesians 1:4. It says, "Even as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love." So this matter of our loving the Lord, being prepared to be without blemish to be his bride, has to do with being holy. Okay. Another important verse is 2 Peter 1:4. I mean, sorry, 2 Peter, yeah, 2 Peter 1:4. And it says, give me a second. I think it, somebody has it, read it. "Through which he has granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world by lust." Okay, so I'll link that in a second. So that's an important verse because we have to see God is holy. So to be holy, and we're going to make this practical in a second. Sorry, I'm just giving you a high level to tie it in to what we've been covering. So the church has a nature. The church has an expression. On one hand, it has oneness, but at the same time, this matter of God in his attributes, he wants to be expressed as the Holy One. Okay? So that touches our living. It touches how we are. And you may ask, I don't know about you, when I was in high school, if you said, okay, you need to be holy, Ben. Yeah. Yeah, this is my concept of holy. You know, I just have this, you know, funny concept about, you know, I mean, I didn't grow up in denominations. I grew up in the church life, you know. But I don't know what holy, what does that mean? Be holy. All right. So we got some help in this recent conference on Leviticus. Pull this up. No help. Less feedback. We were chosen in Christ to be holy in eternity past, right? And then we're being sanctified and saturated with Christ as the Spirit to be holy in this age. And we will be consummated in the holy city in the next age for eternity future. So holy goes very much with God's desire, right? Mm-hmm. He called us. He called the church, but the church is not just common. The church is separated, and we personally need to be this way. So what does holy mean? Well, here's one definition for you. Holy means not only sanctified, which you may have the similar view of sanctified, right? What does sanctified mean? You may not know. But it's not only sanctified or separated unto God, but that's included, but also different, distinct from everything that is common. I like that. Different, distinct from everything common. So something being holy is not common. Saints, we are not common.
Amen.
Sisters, you're special. I don't know how to say this. I mean, this came out in our fellowship, but it's really our realization. The fact you're here in the summertime, you're special. You're not common. You're distinct. Amen. You may not sometimes want to be separate or different. Right? I don't know, when I was in high school, if I really wanted to be that different. Some people really like to be different, but that's not the kind of different we're talking about. My nature is I never want to be different. I never want to stand out. That's just my disposition. If I could hide, I will. You know? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's not common. You know, there's only God is different, distinct from all things. Hence, he's holy, and holiness is his nature. So God is holy, and he is distinct. He's common. That's what's really different. If you want to be a different, you want to be a person that's different, be like God. Anyway, challenge you. So he chose us to be holy, right? So he charged us in Leviticus to be holy, and he chose us. So if you think, oh, I can't be holy, well, you know what? Ephesians 4, you were chosen to be holy from the foundation of the earth. Amen. You were chosen to be holy, predestinated.
Amen.
Okay? But he does it by imparting himself into us, by permeating, saturating his nature.
Amen.
For us, God's chosen ones, so we were chosen, to be holy is to partake of his nature. That's what this matter of 2 Peter 1:4. The way we're holy is we partake of him. Holiness is, I'll get to, it's not a matter of self-correction, of outward conduct, of being some concept of holiness. It's really a matter of partaking of God himself. It's different from sinless perfection or sinless purity. This holiness is to make our being holy as God is holy.
Amen.
So to be holy is first to be separated to God, and second to be taken over by God, third to be possessed by God, and fourth to be saturated with God and one with God.
Amen.
On one hand, so maybe before I start speaking about that, holiness is unattainable. But you see, holiness is attainable. Actually, we were made to be holy. We were chosen to be holy. Eventually, of this is the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is a holy city. Okay? That means in eternity, future, no matter your condition, how you feel, you will be part of this holy city. Utterly holy, just like God. Of course, not in his incommunicable attributes, right? We talked about those. But this matter of holiness, actually, we were chosen to be holy and even charged to be holy. Okay, that's biblical background of our burden and ties in a little bit to our speaking around the church. But what does that look like? And I don't know, we don't have a much better way of telling you than to give you some of our own experiences. And I'm going to give you some of my experiences. Then some sisters, some of the serving ones have volunteered to share some of their own testimonies of what does it look like to have a sanctified living, you know, in their lives, or as a high schooler, if they remember. I remembered a couple different experiences from high school, as recalling. You know, I grew up Christian home and the church life. Started going to the conferences when I was in junior high. That alone is a sanctification, okay? That wasn't even on my list, but for sure, getting to these times, doesn't it help?
Yeah.
Doesn't it recalibrate you?
Amen.
As you get older and you get out of high school, keep going to the college conference. When you get out of college, go to trainings. Go to all the feasts. That's the way to be sanctified. It doesn't stop. You have to go. When you go, you get sanctified.
Amen.
It's my experience, okay?
Amen.
The more, the better. But I was just thinking of some personal experiences. You know, maybe around one of these conferences, one of my serving ones, I can't remember how it transpired, but I think he asked me or I asked him. There was a burden about morning revival, and I want to say I was a freshman or a sophomore. And this brother, who had kids, you know, probably kept them up all night, now that I think about it, didn't have kids then, so I didn't know. He agreed to call me for morning revival in the morning. And he would call me. I think, I don't know how many days. I want to say it was 2 or 3 times a week. He would call me. You know, this is before cell phones, so my mom would, like, wake me up. And here's Mick. He's going to call you. You know. But you know what? It was early because by that time I was at the point where I wanted to sleep all the time. Never stopped getting to that point. So when I was little, supposedly, I just woke up early. But anyway. But I just enjoyed. Sometimes I was groggy and it was like, oh, it's already morning. But I would just enjoy touching my spirit with a brother. Because I always wanted to have morning revival, but I just physically felt like I couldn't do it. I couldn't get up. And I got the help. You know, touching the Lord in the morning is a way to be sanctified.
Right.
But a lot of times we can't, I think we're sympathetic. I could tell you almost every serving in this room, if one of the high schoolers asked them, can you call me? Like once a week, you know, as long as they're not on their way to work or something, or already at work, so you have to get up a little earlier, they'll do it. They'll do it. Why? Because they want you to enjoy the Lord like we're enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
And actually, it helped us both go on. Anyway, so one of that was my first experience. Another one was just getting together with other young people that are in the Lord, you know. I was fortunate. I grew up in Irving, and I went to MacArthur High School. And at that time, I think by the time I graduated, there was like 40 young people in our high school. It's kind of insane. I mean, you know, my daughter goes to elementary school. There's no saints, you know. So I this was a unique situation. And there was other young people in Irving at the time. There's just a lot of young people. I don't know why, but there's a lot of young people in Irving. Some of the saints started getting together for breakfast. Kathy, you may remember. They just started getting together for breakfast one day a week on a school day. So it started at, I remember it was at the Campbell's house. And the Campbell's, who lived close to the MacArthur High School. And so, I mean, it was almost walking distance. And I want to say it was like an hour before school started. So, you know, again, getting up early, right, for high school is kind of hard sometimes, you know. I usually gave myself about 10 minutes to get ready for school, you know. but this was like, you know, so theoretically it was a price, but man, all of us loved it. The sisters poured out, and they must have made so much food, because to feed high school brothers for anything is insane. So, like, and sisters too. But, I think it started out initially as brothers, but then eventually the sisters, and we would do this. It went on like the whole time I was in high school. I want to say for like 3 years, and probably went on after. And it was such a supply to get together and enjoy the Lord, sing some songs, and then go to school. Like, that was different. That made me different, right? I mean, on one hand, I was different, but I don't think we were weird. I mean, I'm always kind of weird, but that has nothing to do with the Lord. Eventually, the Lord will get rid of all the weirdness, right? Our natural... who we are, in a sense, our disposition that's a problem to him. But this time of having breakfast with the saints was, I mean, you know, it was just a supply, right?
Amen.
And then we go to school, and it's like, we just touched the Lord,
Amen.
You know? And then eventually, like, toward my senior year, we were burdened for our friends, and it was out of that time we started praying for them, eventually inviting them and to come, and they came because it's breakfast. It was good, you know? Anyway, praise the Lord. So there's ways we can be sanctified. And then the final way that I was thinking that really touched me that was also in high school. I don't know about you. I mean, we give you a ministry book, but how many of you read the ministry regularly? Don't answer me. I didn't, okay? But I always wanted to. Like, I liked the ministry, but I didn't know as a high schooler how to do that. Like, what should I read? What if I don't understand it? Yeah. And I realized I couldn't do it by myself. I read one book called The Expert Speak, but it was mainly about court cases, which I did become a lawyer, so I don't know. Anyway, but I did like that one. But I needed to read something for life, you know? And I was very fortunate some of the serving ones would kind of help coordinate. Some of the brothers also had that same burden and would coordinate us to just a random night of the week. We would get together for like an hour and read the ministry together. Like we read Economy of God together. And you know, we asked questions because it was just the brothers. And they kept it small, right? So it was just some of the brothers that were my age and my same grade. And we asked all kinds of questions. I got a lot of help from the other brothers asking all kinds of questions, you know. And we just went through it little by little, read through a comment. We started reading through other things. I think one time we read Visions of Ezekiel, I think Hans Michael and another brother. And you know, of course, there's a serving one there to help us. But, you know, you can do it as a young person. We were in high school. And I don't know how much I retain mentally, but I for sure got a supply. And I still even remember at a certain point, because in Irving at the time, we had an evening Lord's table and kind of an overflow family time. And we were enjoying so much, we started speaking what we were reading in the ministry because it was good. And that was a big help for me, and I think I think the saints enjoyed it too because we were enjoying life and spreading life. So these are just three little things that I did in high school that I felt were preserving aspects, sanctifying aspects of my going on. Okay, maybe the sisters that, would it be helpful? Would you all like to stand up together? Would that be more comforting? How about we do that? All five of you. There's only one microphone. There's handheld mics. You could try that. Should we try that? What do you want? Handheld? Okay, why don't you?
My burden for y'all is to treasure your years in high school. There is a battlefield, especially in this age, right? And wherever we are, whether it's school or, you know, wherever we're walking with our parents, with our friends, wherever it may be, there is a battle going on right now. So my main burden is to redeem the time in a proper way by staying in the church life. We must be separated from the world, right? So my experience from this is, you know, I was an athlete in high school, and I was also in band. And so I was in two different worlds in high school. And so sometimes I try to be with, like, the cool kids. Sometimes I try to be right in the middle. But, you know, it varied a lot of times. But, you know, the more that I did in high school, the more that I was involved, I kept searching for more things. And the more that I searched, it was never enough for me. You know, I kept searching for something that would make me happier. You know, either listening to music or, you know, just doing something differently that would make me happy in this way or that way. But, you know, looking back now, the thing that preserved me the most was going to the YP meetings. You know, just preserving me from where I was in school to where I was in the church life. And so I wanted to share Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. So we need to be separated from those who are in the world, right? We need to be separated because we're not of the world. After, you know, listening to these couple of messages, we've been seeing that, you know, the Lord has a purpose for us, for his expression to be here on earth. But he needs his cooperation, and his cooperation starts with us. So through having this cooperation, we need the right people to help us pursue this, right? And that comes with companions. Companions will keep you going to stay in the church life, to keep you going in that direction of life, and to give you that type of growth that you need in your life, not just in high school. Like, high school is very critical. Now that I'm looking back, I'm like, wow, I could have done so many things that, you know, I could have not wasted my time with if I was in the church life, or, I mean, if I was in the YP meetings, or, you know, if I just called a sister up instead of going to, you know, the football games, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, just preserve your time, you know, use your time wisely while you're in high school, while you can. I really enjoyed Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 19, and I'll read them really quickly. So Ephesians 5:15, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then the last, verse 18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit. Amen. And then the last one I'm going to read is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Amen. Singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Just, again, my huge burden is, you know, go on with the Lord. Go on with companions. You know, choose the right companions. If you don't have other friends that are in the church life at school, then, you know, call someone, like the brothers were saying, you know, call an older sister, you know, just call, text someone up, you know, do whatever you need to stay in the church life. I want to conclude with Deuteronomy 6:5, which says, and you shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your, and with all your soul and with all your might.
Amen.
So, sisters, enjoy the Lord. Choose the right companions and pursue the Lord, and do not waste your time. You know, time is very valuable for you and the Lord and for the church life, right? So, amen. I went to Poland my junior year. So the Poland conference, you know, you meet a lot of other followers, you know, a lot of other companions. You meet a lot of friends through your groups and, you know, throughout the conference. And so throughout the week, I met a lot of friends that, you know, I was really impressed. You know, they're from different countries. I met a lot of sisters from Italy, from Germany, from Spain, and all that. And we got each other's contact information. And then a year later, you know, I was put in this group chat, and they were just sharing all their enjoyment. And, you know, that really motivated me because I was like, wow, I haven't been reading the Bible, but they are enjoying more than I have. And so just from what they were sharing to me through, you know, WhatsApp and, you know, from what they were posting on social media, that really, you know, that put a change on me to where I wanted to be in the church life. You know, like, it really made me think of, like, where do I want to be regarding how, if I love the Lord, then I must pursue with him with the right heart, with the right mindset. I think there was another thing. So, yeah, just to conclude, guard your heart to the Lord, especially in this age. Separate yourselves from the things of the world. There's nothing quite so precious. The more you can bring the Lord into your life, the more you'll love the Lord, especially the church.
Amen.
So, yeah, just companions. You know, it doesn't. You don't even have to go to Poland to have that experience, right? You can enjoy other companions here, or, you know, going through other conferences or other YP meetings. So, anyways, I feel like I've been talking a lot, but amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing, sister, because actually all those verses were on my heart. I just didn't know where to find them. So I'm really glad she went first. I actually got saved in college, and so my college years were just filled with meetings and just kind of you know, enjoying the church and getting all this dispensing, and, you know, it's everything is new when you're saved. And then getting that in college, and then I've been working for 5 years, and the two things that the Lord has touched me is about my time and what am I letting in. Because when after you graduate high school or college and you start working, those things are so precious and so easily swayed by the world. Because we have to be in the world but not be of the world, like the sister said. So I wanted to share about time. The sister mentioned about being in a battlefield. Actually, the battle starts when you wake up. And so whenever I was going to work, I was having a hard time at my job, and I was having a hard time going into the mornings, and, you know, I'd pray whenever I would be having a hard time, but actually the battle starts before you even get to work, before you even get up. And there was an older sister that started to pick me up, drop me off at work, but we would have morning revival together in the car. It worked out for a few weeks, and that just saved me. I got a new job, and actually that encouraged me to start reading before I got into work. Yeah. Just even a verse. So I prayed to the Lord, right? I can't read the whole morning revival right now, Lord. It's, you know, that's not in my capacity, so I would just start reading one verse a day. And the Lord hears you, and the Lord, you know, blesses that. And there's, when you come so open to the Lord, you get more enjoyment. And the more enjoyment you have, the more you want to spend more time with him. And it just continues in that way. And that also brings in with what you let in. You know, growing up with cell phones, having cell phones, being around my coworkers, I work 12-hour shifts. So I'm around these people 12 hours a day, and not everything is sanctified, not everything is holy coming out of their mouth. So you, the only way that you can filter those things out, what you see and what you hear, is having the holy God in you. Amen. And the way to do that is to be in the Word, to be in the meetings, to be with the saints. Those are not small things, not small choices. You know, there's all these practical things we have to take care of, but you know, that verse in the song that we just sang, we'll never say another day, right? So that, you know, just after all these years, I just realized, Lord, I don't know. I don't know when the time is up, right? I have to say, Lord, today, today work in my heart. Lots of prayer, learning how to pray, you know. So, just as a high schooler, I know it sounds intense. You have so many things that are ahead of you, but it is, you know, being saved in college and then coming all to, you know, coming to these YP meetings and conferences, I felt like I was a YP person. I wasn't a serving one. I was coming in to enjoy what you guys are hearing. Amen. So, you know, sanctify your time and be careful with what you let in.
Amen. Be careful with what you let in. So for me, I'd say sanctification and being made holy kind of seems like a scary thing, but in my experience, it started whenever I made the church life my own church life, because then I realized whenever the Lord becomes so personal to you, and it's not just your parents' church life or your parents' God, and you make it your God, then the more you love this precious person, and the more you love him, then that issues out in a he sanctifies you and makes you holy. So for me, it began in high school when I was like, okay, the church life is my church life. It's no longer going to be my parents' church life. And then from there, that caused me to immerse myself into the meetings. So I loved going to home meetings. I had like 2 home meetings per week. And then I went to YP meetings. And they were small, but they were so sweet. So I hope you all learn to treasure those YP meetings, being with the other sisters. So you need the body to go on in the church life. So those meetings were a salvation to me, and also the people that I surrounded myself with were a salvation to me. So we just had truth school in Austin, and one of the brothers said, you can't choose who you surround yourself with. Like, you can't choose who you go to class with or who your peers are at school, but you can choose who you associate yourself with and who you become friends with. And so if you have bad company, you're most likely to fall with the bad company, because it's harder to pick someone up or it's easier for them to pull you down than for you to pick someone up. And so in my experience, I didn't have like too bad company, and maybe this is y'all's experience too. Actually, my company was like pretty okay, but some of them weren't believers. So actually that's a perfect opportunity for you to preach the gospel to them. So they're not just people you're friends with, but you can ask the Lord, Lord, give me a burden for my friends. They may not be, you know, sinning and doing bad things, but a lot of them may not be saved or pursuing the Lord. And the more you have a burden for your friends, it made me want to pursue the Lord even more. Because I knew, actually, okay, this is a little testimony. But my friend Grace, she was one of my closest friends in high school, and she was not a believer. She was actually atheist and then Buddhist, and then she went back and forth between a lot of things. But then I asked the Lord to give me a burden for her. And then eventually, in school, in the cafeteria, we would talk about the Lord together. And so it's kind of like the sanctification was brought to school with me. And so I started to pray for her, and the Lord just enlarged that burden for her. And that made me enter into a function. And the more that you enter, or the more that you have a burden for someone, the more you want to function in the church life. And then that issue is in a sanctifying, in a, you know, being made holy. Because I was like, I want to enjoy the Lord today because I know I'm going to see grace, and I want to be able to overflow to her. So anyways, and then years later, it took a lot of mercy from the Lord's part, but she ended up praying to receive the Lord later in college. Amen. And she's the only friend that I've kept in touch with from high school. And so the Lord really brought a sweetness and a sanctifying environment even between me and my friend. So anyways, just to kind of echo off everyone else, redeem the time while you still can in high school. These are very precious years. It's very easy to fall behind, but you have companions to pick you up. And don't be picky with your companions. Sometimes you may have like a preference, like, oh, I want someone that likes the same things as I do, or someone my age. Your companion can be someone who's much older. In high school, my sister was my companion. So your companion can be your sister, who knows. But anyways, my burden is just to redeem the time and preach the gospel to your friends.
Amen. Do you have a question?
Yes.
How did you initiate conversation? How did it happen with you and Grace in the lunch cafeteria? Because I struggle talking with my friends about the Lord.
Yeah.
How did it happen?
So she was actually in a rough place where she, like I said, she was atheist, and so she was kind of curious. And so I think I had just like gotten back from a conference. Oh, go to the conferences, because I would not have been able to overflow to her if I had not been in the conference. Sure. I would have been, I probably would have been like empty. Yeah, so go to the conferences. Because the more you're in the flow, you just can't help but overflow to others. So that was kind of how it started. I talked to four, brought two of them to YP meetings, and then Grace was the only one that was most responsive.
Well, my follow-up question to that is, because I wasn't very bold in preaching the gospel to my friends. I did, every now and then.
Yeah.
But did it change the way that they treated you?
Yes.
Like, did they realize, like, they're not going to invite you to certain things?
Oh, no.
Because you had preached the gospel to them?
Not exactly, but actually it was more of the opposite. I feel like Grace knew, because she knew that I loved the Lord in high school. So in college, whenever she was going through something, she felt like she could turn to me because I was someone that I could, she could talk about the Lord with. Yeah.
So they have opened more doors and closed.
Yeah, in Grace's instance. Yeah.
Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, my experience is I received the Lord as a junior in high school against every fiber in my being resisting the Lord. I remember I was a very rebellious teenager. But the Lord just called me as a junior in high school, and my heart was softened. And I remember just that last senior year in high school, even preaching the gospel to my atheist teacher. Wow. You know, the Lord just, I was just like, so in love with the Lord, and I was just enjoying the Lord, and I was like, what's wrong? wrong with you? Why don't you believe in God? And, you know, but he kind of entertained me in that thought, and he definitely respected, like, my beliefs. But I enjoyed also having companions in high school. So I didn't grow up in the church life, but the Lord, by his mercy, gave me some young people that I was able to pray with kind of every weekend as a high schooler. And that was very precious to me because I felt like in high school I had no one. Like, I don't think I knew another believer in my high school. But I was, like, by myself, I was alone. And, you know, even just having the weekend with my friends, my Christian friends, that really preserved me in high school. And also having my parents. Do not minimize your parents. I remember asking my mom if I could go, like, there was going to be, like, a senior outing, you know. All seniors were going to go to this outing. And I asked my mom if I could go, and she's like, no, you can't go. And inwardly, I was very mad at her. I was like, why don't you let me go? This is, like, my senior experience, right? And so I was mad at her for that weekend. But then the next following week, I found out about everything that happened at that outing, right? And I found out there was a lot of death at that outing. You know, like, things happen, you know, in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just remember, you know, the Lord turning my heart. And I was like, Lord, thank you for preserving me.
Amen.
But that was a realization I had, you know, that our Father does care for us.
Amen.
And sometimes the things that, you know, seem so appealing in the world, the Lord's trying to save us from death. So that was one experience.
Amen.
Then another experience I had was going into college, you know, because as a senior in high school, they hit you with so many choices. Like, what are you going to major in? What school are you going to go to? So many choices. And I remember just praying, Lord, wherever I go, you need to give me saints to fellowship with. I didn't know the word saints, but you need to give me believers. One thing I knew through my experience in high school with having this group, you know, even praying on the weekends with my Christian friends, was that I needed the fellowship or I would not be able to survive. So that just said, I set my direction, right, before going to college, like, I need to have the fellowship. And that's just one burden I have is the world is going to give you a direction if you don't choose it,
right.
You know, whether it's, like, you know, how to live your life, you know, your lifestyle choices, etc. But when we set our heart on Christ in the church and set that direction for our lives, any choice that we make, you know, will be a blessing to us. And the Lord will direct and guide us.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Nidia, what happened when you were in college?
What happened when I went to college? Yes.
You prayed for it.
I prayed for it, and the Lord led me to UT, which is my sister was already there, and she had already gotten connected with the saints, the church life. And so I met the college group, Christians on Campus, at UT my freshman year, and that also just set my direction for the next 4 years. And I also realized, thank you, Lord. You know, there's no prayer that's made in vain. Even every conversation that we have with the Lord, you know, he cares for us and he does listen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So my burden for this time was to share about a sanctified living, loving the saints by spending time with the saints, both older and younger, and both in a spontaneous way and in a set way. So I heard the word, it's like in the ministry, I think if you read Treasuring the Teenage Years for the Lord, it talks about spending your time wisely, and I really took that to heart, so I tried to really redeem my time. So school, like just this summer, when school let out, I don't know if it was the next day, but it was definitely within that first week, I went to 3 different saints' homes in one day. So invite yourself over to saints' homes, and if you can't drive, ask them to pick you up, just anyway, go to their homes. It's amazing. And they love it. It's awesome. So anyway, this first day that I visited 3 saints' homes, I started with breakfast. So I started early in the morning with a family. And then I transitioned and I went to a couple that just had their first baby. And so I got to see their baby. And we just had tea. And we talked about what we were going to do this summer. And then they took me to their baby's nursery room, and they're like, hey, we know you like to paint. Like, could you do some paintings for us? I was like, I would love to do some paintings for you. So So then we talked about what kind of things they would like and their color schemes and subject matters. Anyway, so I was like, yay, the Saints like my hobbies. So anyway, that was nice. And even this particular sister, she teaches fourth grade, and they have an art day once a year. And so she asked me to come to her classroom to teach that. So it's like, you can work your hobbies in with the Saints. It's good. And also, I found some other sisters that like to paint, so we just have spontaneous painting days. Like, I don't have a ton of free time, but one of the college sisters, we paint pretty much every holiday, like on Labor Day, and she took me to the airport so I could go home for Thanksgiving, and I scheduled a later flight that day so that I could paint with her in the morning. And just, so there's college age, and then I paint with, like, the high schoolers. Anyway, just paint with everybody. Then one of my hobbies is also taking photos, and so that became useful too because there's a high school graduating senior and there was two college graduating seniors, so I got to take their senior pictures and then they like sent them out to their family, and then another family in the church life, they asked me to take their family photos, and then I don't have a Facebook, but she like showed me on Facebook, she's like, look how many lights there are, and like, I'll give you the credit. And I was like, oh, thanks. So anyway, just having fun with the Saints and just being in their presence, because the Saints are very sanctifying people, and they're fun, and they're cool. Like, just go. Yeah. Y'all are great. So that was house number two that I got sidetracked on. So then the third house I went to, she was a stay-at-home mom, and then her husband was at work. And so we just talked. I got to meet her pug named Johnny, and I, like, thought his name was Jimmy, but anyway. And then we talked. I was supposed to eat lunch at her house, but we actually talked through lunch. And I don't know if she was just kidding. She was like, oh, we can have peanut butter jelly sandwiches at my house. And I was like, that's fine with me. I don't require gourmet food, but we did not have peanut butter jelly sandwiches, so I was super hungry. But that was okay. And so we went to we talked so long, and she's like, hey, either you have to leave or you can come with me to pick up my daughter at school. And I was like, I'll just come with you. So the pug Johnny and her other daughter and I all went to pick up her other daughter at school. So anyway, just being with the Saints in their normal daily life. Amen. And then the scheduled, structured way of spending time with the Saints is, so after that week, it was like my 1 week of summer, and then I started an internship. And so then my time got even more restricted, but I still like to redeem my time. So I asked Saints to call me after work, and I text them when I am in my car, and I tell them give me 5 minutes so I can immediately merge over 6 lanes so I don't go on 610 and loop around Houston. And so they call me, so I don't have to deal with the phone, and it's with three different sisters. One of them is, and so I'd encourage you to find sisters that are different ages, because each of those prayer appointments has a different experience. And so the one on Monday is with an older sister, and I really appreciate her portion because I ask her to pray for things that I don't know how to pray for, because I'm like, I have these burdens, and I know they need to be prayed for, but, like, I don't know how to carry that out. So she's faithful, and she's like, hey, how about this thing? Because I don't even bring it up. Like, she's faithful to bring it up. I'm like, oh, thank you. And then I have it with another sister on Tuesday, and in this prayer appointment, we are just prayer reading over the outline from the training, because we don't have, like, any particular pressing matters mutually. And then the other sister is a college-age sister, and then we just, like, pray read several verses in the Bible, just through the chapter, kind of randomly and spontaneously. So anyway, just be with the Saints.
Amen.
In a spontaneous way and in a structured way.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I guess I'll introduce myself. I'm Regina. From Dallas/Denton, but currently at the FTTA, and I wanted to share. Actually, I really enjoyed that Ephesians 1:4 was brought up, because it says that we've been chosen to be holy, and even 1 Peter 1:2 says we've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. So this tells us that the Lord, whenever we were saved and He got into our spirit, the Lord didn't say, "What on earth did I get myself into?" He already knows us. So throughout my high school years, I remember sitting in your seat maybe 9+ years ago as a high schooler, and I went to everything, the True School, all the True Schools, the conferences, YP meetings. I learned to have a normal church life. The Saints You know, actually with my family situation, my parents went back to Indonesia when I was 16, so then I lived with the saints. So then even that was the Lord sanctifying my environment, because then the saints were the ones taking care of me. So throughout my high school years, I felt that the Lord sovereignly arranged for me to be preserved and kept in the church life. But I realized eventually you come to a point, kind of like what Renita mentioned, where you need to learn to cooperate with the sanctifying spirit. So this means that regardless of where we're at, eventually we will be made fully holy.
Amen.
But we can hinder what the Lord is doing if we don't cooperate with him.
Yeah.
So I felt that throughout my high school years, I felt the Lord really preserved me and kept me. And I learned to cooperate with him. But on the flip side, after my high school years, I started my freshman year of college, and I found myself surrounding myself with Christians who were believers by name but not by living.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I saw on the opposite end of the saints and the young people and the sisters and even the college sisters who I had spent time with back when I was in high school. And there's a saying that you're the average of the five people you surround yourself with. So I don't know if it's true, but I think it is. I catch myself saying things I don't normally say. I caught myself saying things my little sister says. And so you end up being the average of the five closest people you're with. So my freshman year, I found myself being the average of these five people that were not in the church life, who were believers. And I just found myself headed a different direction than what the Lord originally intended. But after my freshman year, the Lord just put me in a position where I was so desperate for him, and he reminded me of everything. It's like throughout my high school years, you guys being here is not a small thing.
Amen.
The Lord is depositing something into you right now.
Amen.
So he reminded me, Regina, you just need to be back with the saints.
Yeah.
You need to be back with the sisters.
Amen.
You need to be back with those who are really pursuing, who have a pure heart for you. So then my sophomore year was different. So sophomore year of college, I ended up, actually my entire atmosphere changed. I moved into a sister's house, and the sisters who I lived with were really pursuing the Lord. And the sisters that I lived with were ones who I was able to pray with, ones who I went to the meetings with, ones who I read the ministry and Bible with, and then ones who I even served with. So then even throughout my college years of preservation was learning to serve.
Yes.
And for me specifically throughout my college years, I served with the young people. So I served with y'all. And it was really sweet because even my companions, my housemates in college, were serving with me with the young people.
Amen.
And so now to this day, if I look back, throughout my high school years, there's only maybe three girls that I even keep in touch with, one of which I actually brought to like true school back in junior high, and she's been to a few meetings here and there. The other two, they're believers, and they know I'm a believer, but I don't want to push anything on them. So there's only three girls that I keep up with back from high school. And then everyone else that I do keep up with back from high school are sisters.
Yeah.
Are the sisters who I grew up with, sisters who I saw in conferences, sitting down in conferences like you guys.
Yeah.
And even the companions that I keep up with now to this day, even in college, are not my classmates, but actually the sisters who I pursue the Lord with.
Amen.
So I learned to cooperate again with the sanctifying spirit after my sophomore year. So anyways, the Lord is sanctifying us.
Amen.
You know, we are being made holy, and we just need to learn to cooperate with him.
Amen.
And we can cooperate with him by surrounding ourselves with those who are also pursuing the Lord.
Amen.
This will be such a preservation, and this will keep you in the church life.
Amen.
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 Thank the Lord.
Wonderful. Isn't a sanctified living very normal and beautiful?
Amen.
Remember one time the meeting hall was under construction in Houston, the newer hall, and there's, if you've ever been to a construction site, there's dust everywhere, and you could see the beams of light coming down through the dust because of all the colloidal activity of the dust in the air and everything. So I grabbed my Bible and just stood in the middle of the shaft of light, you know, and looked up like this. I said, "Hey, Brother Clem, check it out. You know, I'm holy." But anyhow, that's not holy, right? I think this is what it is to be holy. You know, this is holy. And it's very normal. And it's beautiful. And it's not something that's unattainable and something that we can't be in high school. And just wanted to give you some numbers, because in our fellowship earlier, we were just so touched how special you are. Do you realize that God's Old Testament people, that's a picture of us? You know that, right?
Yeah.
The Old Testament, that's our book.
Yeah.
And anything you read about Israel, that's really us.
Yeah.
Israel got, in about 500 BC, they lost their political, they lost statehood. They were no longer a nation. And for 2,400 years, they were not a nation. But somehow, how is it possible? Can you think of any other people that's been conquered and lost their statehood? Can you think of any other people that still maintain their identity? Where are the Hittites? How about the Phoenicians? Where are those guys? Do you know where Cherokee Nation is? Can you go somewhere and that's the Cherokee Nation? You know? But Israel, they maintain their identity. In 1948, they became a country again. It was like magic. I think part of it is they know who they are. And it is not a small thing to grow up in this place, to be in the church life. I agree with whoever shared about when you make the church life yours, let that happen earlier. Now let that happen.
Amen.
This is mine. This is my thing.
Right.
Mom and Dad, thank you. But if you go somewhere, I'm still here. It's a big deal to be here. You think of what the Lord did to get you here, including your parents' testimonies.
Yeah.
So I just want to close by giving you some numbers. I'm a numbers guy, and I was tickled by these. Do you know, take a guess, how many high school students do you think there were in 2017 in the state of Texas? Just throw out a wild guess. That's on the low side. Go higher. 1,615,000. That's, I'm sorry, 14,000. 1,614,000. That's, well, minus 90,000 because that's some private school kids. But of all high schoolers in this state, 1.6 million. And there's what, 80 of you here? Something like that? Oh, you're special. You're special. The enemy will lie to you. He just wants you to be common. He just wants you to be like everybody else. But you are special.
Amen.
It is. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. And I just echo all of the sharing from these
Amen.
Sisters.
Amen.
All of these dear sisters. I think sometimes you don't want to be different. But you just are. You're the seed of Abraham. You're different,
Amen.
You know. I had experiences in high school. I didn't want to be different, but it's just different. I had a companion. There were nobody from the church life in my high school. Nobody, Ben. But I did have a Christian brother, a companion, and he was probably the boldest person in the whole high school. He would preach the gospel to people. I really respected this brother. He was able to be quite normal in my mind, quite normal, but he would preach the gospel. People knew he was a Christian. And I don't know how people knew I was a Christian, but they somehow did also. We both got called to this prayer time to pray for somebody that was in a bad car accident. Anyway, they asked Bradley and they asked me. One time, a very perturbed classmate, David Bellman, he came to me and said, "Hey, Matt, Bradley just told me I was going to hell." I get all these experiences like that. And And but see, I was empty. I was bankrupt. Have you ever had to pay for something and you forgot your wallet? I've done that before. I'm at the store. There is milk on this counter. And I drove here illegally because my wallet is at home. I'll be back, you know. But you cannot do that in school. You can't do that. Matt, Bradley just told me I'm going to hell. And I was bankrupt. But I had to say something. And anyway, thank the Lord. I couldn't contradict my friend because it wasn't a lie, correct? It wasn't an untruth. I had to stand with the gospel. I just said something lame like, well, it doesn't have to be that way, you know? But, oh, Lord, don't make these mistakes. Be filled with the Lord in high school. It is a noble honor to be of the seed of Abraham. You are different. You are different. You're special. Anyway, praise the Lord. Amen.
Have to go to dinner now, so thank the Lord for this fellowship.
Amen.
On the schedule, what time does it say we need to be back here for the meeting? 7:15. So you'll have a little less than an hour to eat, which I think will be no problem. And go use your, you know, use the restroom and do whatever you need to do to be back in the meeting at 7:15, because we have another special chapter in the novel that we're unfolding. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.